Welcome to the Owner to Owner podcast with your host, Jesse Tyler, part of the EO Podcast Network.
Welcome to the Owner to Owner podcast. It's great to have you back with us again. I'm Jesse Tyler. I work for Hypertherm, a 54-year-old global manufacturing and technology company that is almost 2,000 owners strong. My job focuses on employee experience and engagement across career stages, from onboarding new hires to learning the stories and advice of our pending retirees, participatory decision forums like problem busters and focus groups, ownership culture, and recognition. You probably have had your life touched in some way by my company, Hypertherm. Hypertherm Associates, we're the leader in plasma and water jet, and so bridges, structural steel. The building I'm sitting in was cut with Hypertherm plasma to make a large industrial building. Water jets used for stone, food, and other. So major companies that drive our industrial economy rely on us for the cutting part of their process. So about the podcast. So the Owner to Owner podcast goals is to have discussions about a range of ownership experiences and culture topics, bring more insight into the individual ownership experience, and to amplify the success and culture of our ESOP company guests. So we also want our listeners to hear their peers in ownership with new voices and perspectives. Well, it's great to have executive vice presidents and others. I really like to focus on the rank and file, the doers, the makers, the sales, marketing, fixers, assemblers, deliverers, that sort of audience, because I think consistently, time and time again, there can be remarkable, wonderful insight into ownership experience through those voices that aren't usually heard. So a stretch goal of this is that a business owner considering selling the company to their employees hears the voices of their workers and our guests, gets a peek into the potential future for the company they built, their legacy, and empowering people they care about to become employee owners. The Owner to Owner podcast grew out of a friendship with Brett Kiesling, the originator and host of the EO Podcast Network. So what I would like to do is a quick introduction of the three guests from Meyer Supply and have you just add a little bit more about kind of what you do. So you can get a title, lots of job titles can be interesting, but they don't always convey. So we're sort of looking into what you actually do, a little bit of the day of the life of. So today I'm joined by Tim, the branch manager in Albany, Victoria, the senior HVAC sales and marketing specialist, and Dave, the brand ops manager for the Pennsylvania region. So we have a variety of roles, responsibilities, and areas that these folks. Victoria, could you share a little bit more about kind of what you do, a little bit about your tenure, and then we'll hear from the others.
Sure. I've been with Meyer Supply for 9 years now, and my job responsibilities range from, you know, working with our sales team to working with our contractors on sales and marketing and helping them grow their business and be successful with any promotions or sales tools that they need.
Fantastic. Thank you. Tim, a little bit more insight into the branch manager role.
Yeah, sure. I've been with Meyer Supply for 15 years. The last five I've spent as branch manager in our Albany location. My days are always different. In addition to managing some of the day-to-day operations, I really try to help wherever I can, whether that's answering phones, pulling orders, helping resolve some tech issues, supplying quotes, managing my team, and really just trying to, you know, let them know that they can count on me whenever they need it and just keep morale high in the branch.
That's great. Yeah, and we'll talk a little bit about leadership and morale a little bit later in our conversation. Thanks for the insight. Dave, what does a branch operations manager for Pennsylvania region do?
So I work closely with the branch managers in the Pennsylvania region. We currently have 9 branches in the Pennsylvania region, and I work closely with the branch managers to make sure that all the operations within the branches are semi-consistent and efficient. So, I mean, there's always ways to make our co-owners more efficient in the work that they do every day, try to get the team doing the same things the same way to help streamline the processes and the procedures.
That's great.
I've been with Meyer Supply for 16 years and still new to this new role, but it's fun. I enjoy it. I enjoy the teaching aspect of it. And my day to day is pretty much determined either the week before or the day before. If a branch manager calls it sick, I have to pick up and go to that branch. So
sure.
Luckily, 8 of my 9 branches are fairly close. It's fun.
That's great. That's great. Variety. No standing still, no boredom, I think I'm hearing from all three of you. So with my focusing the podcast on the rank and file and kind of the doers, we don't always get to have the fun we can have today where you're all three of you are kind of a face and voice for the customer, for Meyer Supply. So I want to sort of emphasize that in our conversation through a sort of how being customer facing, customer care, the marketing, the sales, the management, how that is impacted by being employee owners with great tenure, 9 to 16 years, which is great. So what I like to do is sort of go in a sequence and kind of build up. So there's a couple similar questions that I'm asking intentionally to kind of get a different perspective. So I'm going to ask you about, to start, when you talk about employee ownership, when you're not around other employee owners, how do you talk about it? And then the next question will be around, okay, now friends and family, that's sort of can be a different conversation, and it's fun to explore that a little bit, and then what it really means to you. So I like to start with that sequence and kind of put you at ease and hear your insights. So Victoria, if you're game to start us off, how do you talk about employee ownership when you're out in the world and you're not around other employee owners? What are some of the words you use? How do you talk about it?
Yeah. So to me, like when I'm talking about it with other people, I always emphasize that, you know, my hard work and the, you know, like I have the ability to be a direct part of the company's growth. And it's not, you know, we're all working hard as a team, but we are all also benefiting from that. So our reason for working hard and wanting to be successful and wanting the company to be successful directly impacts us.
That's great. That's great. And do you find that that works for people if they've never heard of it? Because sometimes right. Employee owners can be fairly passionate about it.
Yes, because, you know, you're working hard to grow yourself, not to just make somebody else rich in a sense.
That's great. Thank you. Tim, how do you talk about ownership when you're away from other employee owners?
Yeah, the first thing I usually talk about is what an ESOP or an employee owned company actually is, because a lot of people don't really know about it if they're not part of it. So just giving them a little bit of education and a background on what it is and what it's about. One of the main talking points I usually bring up is the financial benefits of being part of an ESOP. That usually gets people's attention really quick.
That's great. Yeah, employee owners are proven to be healthier, happier, and have 2 times or more the retirement readiness than others. Do you have any like points like that that you find really, you know, when you talk about finance, what are some things that you go to? What are some words you use to describe it? Because other employee owners that are trying to do this might pick some things up from the three of you.
Sure. Yeah. It's something I usually, when I talk about the financial benefits of it, I really talk about the long-term benefits. You know, it takes a little while, obviously, to build up some sort of equity in your ESOP account, but just the freedom you're going to get, you know, when you get to a point when you're ready to retire and start the next, you know, period of your life, it's just a good feeling knowing that you'd be all set.
That's great. That's great. Yeah. Hypothermia, when we're talking to people on their first day and we hire right out of high school, so it's their first job, first benefits. It's sort of an odd topic to talk about retirement, but it's, you know, sort of touching on the wealth building and the like. And when it comes to the patience with the share, we informally call it like this 7-year smile. Like first year, maybe that's not a huge number, but by the, you know, 6th, 7th, 8th year, people are usually very tuned in and smiling easily when that topic comes up. So that's great to get your insight. Dave, how do you talk about employee ownership when you're not around employee owners?
So to piggyback off of both Tim and Victoria, I always talk about the culture and how working for an ESOP. I had the opportunity to work for another distributor that was not an ESOP prior to working here, and the cultures are just completely different. Come to work every day. From day one that I got hired, I felt empowered to make my own decision and to learn from those decisions, which I couldn't believe it. You know, I couldn't believe that day one, somebody trusted me enough to make decisions that were going to benefit, you know, all my co-owners, my 175 co-owners that we currently have. So with that culture, empowerment, accountability, you know, one thing that my branch manager, when I was first hired, told me is, you know, if I make mistakes, I want you to tell me about it. But, you know, if you make mistakes, I'm going to tell you about it. And it's just going to be a relationship. It's not going to be me, you know, pointing my finger at you saying, you know, do better next time. And I also talk about the retirement benefits and how it's basically a retirement fund that I don't have to pay into. All I have to do is show up to work and work hard every day. And, and knowing that I show up to work and work hard every day, it's also an added benefit for me to know that I'm benefiting 174 other co-owners.
Yeah, it's definitely a different way of working. And I see folks that have been at ESOPs for a long time, it creeps into the way they live at home and the way they manage their finances and those kinds of expectations of values and behaviors and stuff. So it's fun. It's always fun to take a look at that. So, but I actually will ask you to kind of shift slightly. Dave, when you talk to ownership and your experience or even the wealth building, how do you talk about it with friends and family? So they know that you're into this. You're potentially enthusiastic about this and smiling at you on the video here. What kind of stuff do you talk about with friends and family when you start talking about employee ownership?
Well, the same things a little bit. You know, I love getting up and going to work every day. I know that we're all out for the same goal. Most of us are working towards that same goal. Mm-hmm. And it's just, you know, the added benefit of having two retirements working for one company is also pretty cool. But it's nice to see the growth that Meyer Supply has had over the last few years. So friends and family, I'll talk about that growth. Let them know that, you know, our percentage of growth every year is way more than any stock market has ever done. So when they think about their 401ks, they're like, well, what percent are you at? I tell them and they're like, holy crap. And you don't have to pay in this thing? And you still have a 401k? And I brag a little bit, honestly, to my family about it.
That's great. That's great. You see pride in your face. That's wonderful. And that's why I asked the question. I think, you know, it's interesting, you know, because if you are an employee owner, when you're out in the world, you're to an extent, we're a big family, a big community. And we're all kind of ambassadors, because hopefully we can help each other find some new owners to join as hiring gets difficult. But with friends and family, it's just very interesting to hear their questions and how you manage this. Tim, what do you say, same or different for friends and family when you talk ownership?
For me, I always talk about the culture that we have. It's unlike anything I've ever experienced in former jobs and other places that I've worked at. I also like the fact that there's a lot of positive mentors around the company. You know, I know Victoria, Dave, and I, we lean on each other a lot for some, you know, for some personal and professional development. And it's just a nice benefit to know that we have that support around the company, because everybody's kind of going through the same thing.
That's great. Thank you. Victoria, what would you add for friends and family talking about ownership?
Yeah, so I agree with Dave and Tim completely. And I talk about a lot of the same things, specifically the culture. And, you know, my friends and family get to see a lot of the fun things that the company does for us too, you know, on different levels. So that brings up a lot of good conversations, picnics, trips, you know, just in the ways that they give back. So that sparks a lot of conversation too.
That's great. Yeah, it can be very interesting, friends and family, to say that you're looking forward to going to work, because not everybody has that experience. And then, you know, something I say in the first few minutes when people are at Hypertherm, because every other week we hire, and, you know, there can be a dozen people in the room every other week that are new and trying to get their bearings and coming from different walks of life. And something that I say, yeah, I guess it's kind of serious for somebody's first welcome, but I've, you know, onboarded a lot of people, and I think it's important to throw out is that, you know, a lot of us before had some tough work experiences, wanted our voice to matter. Well, your voice matters right now. So I was smiling with Dave talking about on your first day being trusted to make a significant decision. And, you know, what I see as a culture ambassador and advocate for our associates is that for some people, it actually takes them a while to trust it. You know, so it's interesting to kind of hear, you know, your insights and how you talk about it, because it can be a lot for a whole bunch of people to be excited about this ESOP thing, and the new person doesn't really get it yet. So it's always interesting. So Victoria, the big ownership question.
Mm-hmm.
I know, so for all three of you, the ground rules are, my intent is to get you to give it some I statements. The reality is, we seems to be the most common used word in the ownership culture. So I'm going to try to get each of you to give sort of, for me it means, or I believe, but if you go into we and talking about your company, that's totally understandable and awesome as well. But for you as an individual, Victoria, what does ownership mean to you?
To me, ownership means having a team of people that ultimately end up being your family and friends, that, you know, everybody is working towards a common goal.
That's great. Thank you. Tim, what does ownership mean to you?
Ownership to me, it's a lot of what we've touched on already. I find it empowering that I can, that my actions will have a direct impact on the success of our company. And I take that very seriously.
That's great. Thanks. Dave, for you, what does ownership mean?
I believe that it makes me work more efficiently and double check my work, triple check my work, double check the work of others, to make my workday more efficient and more profitable for the company and for my co-owners.
That's great. If you were to describe in this moment, this conversation, ownership, if you had three words, what would you use to describe ownership?
We own this.
We own this?
We own this.
Put yourself a winning t-shirt.
That, we typically every few years or so, we have a logo contest that we put out to all of our co-owners within the company. We say, give them an opportunity to make our next ESOP logo. And a couple years ago, we had a guy down in one of our branches that made a logo that was awesome, and we use it. It was voted upon by the whole company. And in that logo, it says, we own this.
That's great. I appreciate the backstory. Yeah, because sometimes we get, I ask this to all new hires, I ask this to all podcast guests, and it's fun to see because depending on the day, you know, depending on your experience, it could be, it can vary, but in the moment, it can be fun to hear. And sometimes I get three different words and then a really long explanation for context, which is really, you know, sort of peeling the onion and hearing the story. So it's neat to hear that that was a logo and maybe on some shirts and stickers somewhere in Meyer Supplyville. That's great. Absolutely. Nice shout out for it.
Yep.
That's great. Tim, what three words would you describe ownership with?
Yeah, if I had to boil it down, I would definitely say hard work, accountability, and rewarding. I think those three words sum it up pretty perfectly.
Do you mind if I extend this and then we'll get to Victoria's three words?
Sure.
Can you tell me more when you picked accountability?
Yeah.
Can you tell me more about that means within an ownership culture?
Definitely. I mean, I know for myself and my team here in Albany, you know, we hold each other accountable for the decisions that we make and how it impacts our bottom, because those decisions at the end of the day and at the end of the year are going to impact our company stock. If we're making the right choices, we're going to see we'll see the returns. And if we're making the wrong choices, then we're going to see the consequences.
That's great. Well said. Thank you. Victoria, what three words would you use in this moment to describe ownership?
Empowerment, culture, and valued.
Do you mind shedding a little more insight into your choice, your first one, empowerment? What does that mean to you, or an example of that?
Yeah, just being able to make decisions, which I think Dave talked about, but just being able to, you know that if you're in a situation, you can make that decision, and that decision will either be good or bad, and you'll learn from it, but you have that option, and whatever you do will hopefully end in a good result.
That's great. Thank you. Yeah, accountability is, I think, just always an interesting topic in ownership culture, because I can't go to, if I join the team, I can't go to you and say, no, Victoria, that's not my job. No, Dave, not my job. You know, it's like there can't be any of that stonewalling. And we're kind of in this together. So it's interesting, because maybe for the three of you with accountability, what's a hard part of ownership culture? Because, you know, I'm trying to warm you up to the question with saying, what I observe having onboarded over 1,000 of our last new hires is, I think the hardest thing is saying no. Where other places you have to say no to survive and still be employed tomorrow or whatever. Can you think of some things around with no, which you can speak to, or other things? What's something hard about ownership culture and that accountability that we walk into every day?
Yeah, I mean, I can tell you from a management standpoint, on the accountability aspect, it's being able, obviously, like Dave said, to, you know, check over somebody else's work, but then also being able to take the criticism or you know, I guess negativity, if you're doing something wrong, being able to take that and kind of work with it and grow from it and learn.
Yeah, thanks. So let's shift that a little bit to leadership. So somebody's listening to this podcast. They're recently joined an employee-owned company, or they're about to join an employee-owned company. All of you clearly have leadership roles within Meyer Supply. What's different about leadership? And this can be you as a leader, you as a report. Just sort of what resonates for you in the question is what I'm looking for. What's different about leadership for working at an employee-owned company versus a publicly traded or privately? Insights, do you have something?
I think leading by example is a lot more, you know, not important, but it's a lot more, it's seen differently than and viewed differently. So being an example of what ownership is, so that could be, you know, family, culture, value, however, you know, people see it, but definitely leading by example.
Thanks. Tim, do you have thoughts to add?
Yeah. In regards to leadership, you know, one thing we do here at Meyer Supply is we empower each other. You know, Dave, Victoria, and I, we've all attended some leadership training programs. In return, we more or less turn around and try to train up the next person in line to make them a future leader for the company as well. Mm. Just trying to spread that knowledge and that love, so to speak.
Yeah. Dave, what are your thoughts? It sounds like you get some real-time adjustments to covering branches and everything else. What's different about leading in an employee-owned environment?
So I've noticed that I tend to allow everybody that I oversee become a leader in one sense or another. So, I mean, it could be a guy that started 3 months ago and I'll empower him or give him a chance to show me what kind of a leader he can be and then work with him on that. So if there's things that he's not doing correctly or there's things that he could do better, I'll suggest things to him, make him think it's his idea or her idea. And so empowering others to be leaders as well, like Tim said, you know, you're always trying to train your replacement, because if you can't find somebody to fill your role, there's nowhere for you to go. You can't move up in the company if there's somebody not to take your place. So empowering others to lead, and, you know, obviously that's leading by example as well. So, yeah.
Well, appreciate it. So let's say, because the three of you work together, a lot of years and experience. Let's say Meyer's doing a leadership immersion, new leaders, and they ask you to come into the room and give one bit of advice. All you get to do with all your knowledge and experience among the three of you, you get one bit of advice for a bunch of greenhorns. Dave, what would your one tidbit be for a room full of new Meyer leaders?
So I use this all the time. Dress for the job that you want, not the job that you have. And I always say after, and I'm not talking about what you're wearing.
Awesome. Victoria, what would you say to a room full of brand new green Meyer leaders?
I would say to just give it your best. Like, don't be shy or don't be nervous to fail, because we're all going to fail. And what matters is we learn from our mistakes and we fix them and we do better next time. And to just don't be afraid to try.
Great. Tim, for you?
Yeah, definitely. For me, I would tell him, be ready to get uncomfortable, you know, and be willing to say yes to a lot of stuff, because that's the only thing that's going to make you feel uncomfortable and help you learn and grow.
That's great. Yeah, it's a different ride to be a leader. It's not a title. It's a calling. It's a lifestyle. It's a way of being. And so it's fun to hear that perspective for the Meyer Supply. So I want to bring us back to culture and give you kind of an opportunity to give a shout out to your successful ESOP and what you've built together. What's one thing that Meyer Supply has done well with ownership culture and communication? And this is a chance to teach and share, spread ideas with other ESOPs that are trying to catch up to you and on the progress you've made. So Tim, if you want to start, something about ownership culture and communication at Meyer that you're proud you want to give a shout out to.
Yeah, definitely. You know, in addition to just we do some co-owner trips and company events throughout the year, the ESOP committee plans a whole month of activities during the month of October. And it's all for our co-owners. We celebrate being an employee-owned company. We have different games with prizes and trainings. And we cap it all off at the end of the month with an employee luncheon. And we get a lot of participation, and it really just seems like it helps infuse a lot of education about the ESOP to everyone around the company.
Nice. Victoria, what's something about communication or culture that you think your company does really well that you can share?
So we have a really great resource team for all of our co-owners, and we make it really easy to have access to training or answer, you know, any questions that they have, and just spread knowledge to all of them all year long.
Nice. Thank you. Dave, for you, something you want to call out?
I think that Meyer does a really good job of incorporating the ESOP into everything we do every day. You know, I'll hear people from time to time, you know, I go to their branch and offer to buy them lunch. And once in a while, I'll get a co-owner says, well, doesn't that come out of our ESOP? And yes,
yeah, that's great.
But you have to spend money to make money. So I think Meyer does a really good job of incorporating the ESOP into everything we do every day.
That's great. Yeah, that's funny with those comments over the years talking to other employee-owned companies and folks at Hyperthon. I'm like, wait a minute. Like, there was something, an example that I've shared in the past was when we had training, we used to have food in the room. So people, low blood sugar, they're used to running around, they're sitting and training, you know, and stopped doing it because enough of our associates said, nope, I want that in my profit sharing check. Don't give us food. It's funny. We found a compromise where we still feed them some, but it was just sort of great that they're thinking like an owner that way. So with having the ESOP, it sounds consistent from all three of you, but it's a very consistent part of your kind of vernacular and your culture. If think of a number, and we'll just do a quick check and see what the number is. How many months does it take a new coworker to get the hang of this ownership thing? Kind of trust it, understand it, talk about it with confidence. I'm just curious. It's fun to get a wider variety of answers. How many months does it take somebody? Can add a little color too if you want. Dave, how long does it take someone to get this ownership thing at Meijer?
It just depends. It depends on the age of the co-owner. Younger people tend to get it less quickly.
Sure.
If I had to put a number on it, I would say 72, because that's typically when they become fully vested.
Yeah, well, there you go. There's some major milestones that can bring some sharp attention and focus. And again, I'm just asking this in a playful way to give insights, and it also does share about your culture. So, Victoria, how many months does it take a new owner to kind of get the ownership thing?
Yeah, so I was thinking probably like 36 months. I think it really takes a couple of years to get them completely on board and understanding.
That's great. Tim, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm somewhere with Victoria. I think 2 to 3 years, you know, once somebody gets in here and they kind of get a feel for it. And then once they get a couple stock certificates and they kind of start seeing the growth there, I think then they start kind of buying into it a little more. But Dave's definitely right. The younger people just, it takes them, they almost like they don't believe it, you know, and it takes a little while for them to kind of see the truth.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. We've got a lot of young people coming in. And so again, just to my earlier comment where somebody's, you know, 19 or 23 and, you know, the ESOP, you know, the way I talk about it, if it helps you at all, is the ESOP is a retirement vehicle. The ESOP isn't the daily experience. It's the foundational values of the company that became employee owned and finds people to have a cultural alignment and invite disruptors and creative thinkers and decision makers and doers. It's the daily experience is ownership. The ESOP is awesome. You know, like on your first day at work, do you have people excitedly go into great depth and detail about your 401k? No, or hopefully not, because people's first day, they're taking in a lot. So we try to kind of shift it to being like, okay, there's this thing coming. You're going to learn about it a lot more. And we do a whole, you know, ownership 101. But it's especially for the younger folks. It's like, why? I just got here. Why are you talking about retirement? It's like, oh, if you have a good day today on your first day and it feels different, then that's good. Maybe you can come back tomorrow and double your tenure and sort of we'll build a career from there. So I'm curious, I want to hear about your EO awe moment, which is what we ask everybody, but I do want to take a little walk into the sort of the customer facing. So Victoria, you're making those materials, you're a senior sales specialist marketing. So you have sort of generating the message and then, you know, public responsibility and then branch manager and branch operations with Tim and Dave. I'd love to get a little bit of insight for how being an employee owner impacts how you interact directly with the customer. You know, thinking back to when you worked somewhere else and you weren't an employee owner, how does that affect three important faces and voices of Meijer Supply for your customers? Tim, if you want to start.
Sure. For me, it kind of started when I first came on board with Meijer Supply. I started right out of college. And before that, I'd worked retail, and it was just, it was brutal. And coming over to Meijer Supply and just seeing the difference from, you know, a corporate giant to an employee owned company, you could just feel it in the air. You could see the customers really cling to it. There's a lot more care. There's a lot more compassion. There's a lot more willingness to help out the customer on our end to make sure they're happy and that they come back again and again and again.
That's great. Dave, what about for you?
Yeah, a lot of the same things Tim just said, but also, you know, I like to talk about it with my customers and let them know that, you know, everybody you talk to here, but then in the branch is an employee owner. So they care about your business as much as you do. Maybe not as much as you do, but they care about your business and they want you to be successful, because in order for us to be successful, you know, you need to be successful. And we realize that as owners of this company.
That's great. Yeah. Victoria, you have both the sales and the marketing twist.
Right.
So what are your insights?
Yeah, I mean, 100% what Tim and Dave said, but also adding that, you know, that our success is dependent upon our customer success too. So, you know, we want them to be successful just as much as we want to be successful.
That's great. Thank you for all of you for sharing that. So this goes back to sort of your personal experience with ownership. So when Brett Kiesling interviews a lot of VPs and owners and founders and lawyers on his podcast, he tends to start with this question. And I kind of like to build up to it with the owner-to-owner question, where you've shared some insights about your culture, individual experience. But this one's about you. So we like to ask our guests to share their EO aha moment. So it's not the first time you heard about employee ownership, or even when you started to like it. If you had a moment where you were like, aha, this is going to be really cool, we'd love to hear that. Dave, could you kick us off if you had one to share?
Yeah, so point blank, it was the first time that I ran my account balance projector. So so we have this ESOP Connections website that we send all of our co-owners to after they receive their first certificate. It wasn't soon after I got my first certificate, after only being with the company 12 months, that I got on that ESOP projector and realized that, you know, at the end of all this, I could be a millionaire. So, I mean, it opened my eyes pretty quickly.
That's great. That's great. Yeah. It sounds like a clear aha moment. I can see it in your face. That's great. It's the longer view. It's patience, it's dedication, and the longer view. And it's amazing what can happen to people's personal wealth. Victoria, did you have an aha moment you'd like to share?
Yeah. So, you know, I was hired directly out of college. So I was young and it took me a little bit to get the hang of it and to understand what it really was. And for me, it when I had a family. So once I had my daughter and I realized, like, when I retire, like, you know, I need to be financially set. I need to not have that responsibility fall on her. So I started looking into it and that's when it fully clicked. Like, it's right here. It's been here the whole time and I just didn't understand it.
That's great. Thank you for sharing that. Tim, what was your aha moment?
For me, it was my very first ESOP contribution. It was a hell of a lot bigger than I was expecting it to be. And it blew me away. And I remember saying to my manager at the time, I go, this is mine to keep. And he was like, yeah, that's yours. You know, and that just made a pretty big impact on me at that point.
That's great. That's great. Appreciate you sharing that. So I appreciate the positivity of the conversation. I do want to acknowledge and give you an opportunity that this is historically, globally, a stressful time. And we have a lot of distractions. There's a lot of bad news. There's other things going on. So I'd like to ask guests, this is a friend and teammate of mine, Gabe Luke, gave me this question is, in these challenging times, what keeps you coming back? Just curious for your thoughts. What keeps you coming back during these times? Dave, do you want to offer some thoughts?
I love my family that I work with, all 175 of them. I don't know since day one, 16 years ago, that I've ever had a day where I woke up and didn't want to go and see my family. It's nice to be a part of something that people are actually working for you. You're working for them. And it's the greatest feeling in the world.
That's great. Thank you. Victoria, what keeps you coming back?
I'm exactly with Dave. I feel like I'm waking up and coming in to see my friends and my family. And, you know, we have a good time. We work hard and it's like a second home.
Wonderful. Tim?
Yeah, for me, it's like there's a prize at the end of that tunnel. You know what I mean? I can see that light, you know, it's 25 years away, but I know that when I get to that point, it's going to be well worth all the time and effort and the good and the bad and everything in between.
That's great. Thank you for that. Yeah, I got some time this morning. We have a high school summer program and we had some of the rising juniors going to be seniors next year and did a value session. I was asking them what's important and it will be fun to share this podcast with them because it was something where, you know, challenging them to think, do you like who you work with? Do you feel good about what, you know, and be thinking about? And when you go into an interview, you're looking around, are people kind to each other? We all got to make money and it's a business. And so it's fun to hear you share today because your culture comes through loud and strong care and trust culture. It's wonderful to hear about. Before we close, I'd like to give you the floor, each of you, to promote your company and why it's great to work there. Why is Meyer Supply great? And in the EO Podcast Network and the larger effort, the Owner Podcast, we're really trying to amplify employee ownership companies, culture, and give you a boost. So talking about your pride in Meyer and why it's great to work there, you're also welcome to talk directly to people looking for a job because it's getting harder and harder to hire. So Tim, if you kick us off, a little Meyer pride and speak to the audience about why it's great to work there and why a bunch of people listening should come join you.
Definitely. You know, one of the first things that stood out to me in the first couple of years I worked here, you know, a lot of companies, you get a lot of people trying to step on one another to gain a little more leverage to advance in the company. I don't feel that. I've never seen that here. You know, you got people instead of trying to step on somebody else, you have people trying to give you a boost up and try to help you. We have internal leadership programs. We have access to everybody in this company. I can pick up the phone today and talk to the president of the company if I needed to. And just having that and knowing that I have the support, I have the care, I have the compassion and the mentorship in this company means a lot to me. And that's something I don't take for granted.
Excellent. Thank you. Victoria, what are your thoughts?
Meyer Supply does an amazing job with listening to their co-owners. So, you know, you're always heard and your opinions are valued. They give you the tools and the training and anything you need to succeed and move up and be successful. And it's just an amazing company to work for.
Thank you. Dave?
Everything they said. I don't know that I can add much to it except for, you know, come work for us. You won't regret it. We are a great company. We all love each other. We will empower you. We will make you into the leaders if that's what you want. Come on board.
That's great. That's great. Well, I appreciate the time with all of you, especially with how busy you are, to take a little while on this afternoon to talk ownership for a little bit. I want to thank our guests and our listeners, as always. This is Jesse Tyler with the Owner to Owner podcast for the Employee Ownership Podcast Network. Think ownership, talk ownership, buy employee-owned, including co-ops, and more empowerment for the workers and better communities. So really appreciate it. So thanks a lot.
Thanks, man.
Thanks, Jesse.
We'd love to hear from you. You can find us on Facebook at EO Podcast Network and on Twitter at ESOP Podcast. This podcast has been produced by Brett Kiesling for the EO Podcast Network. Original music composed by Max Kiesling. Branding and marketing by Bitsy Plus Design. And I'm Bitsy McCann.